That on. It was good. It's been good already to be here this morning. Some of the songs that we sang. I do feel my need this morning of more of the Lord. I do have a burden. I don't have a lot that I want to share this morning, but I do have a burden. And what I am sharing, there's a terminology or there's a term that we hear a lot in Christianity, and it's the term, accept the Lord Jesus in your hearts and be ye saved, or have you accepted Jesus Christ in your life as your Lord and Savior? And does anyone have any problem with that terminology or with that term? Brother John, what's the problem with that term?
It's a long discussion.
But in short.
In short, he means that therefore there's a lot of deception on our part.
Well, yeah. So we sang a song this morning, song number 18, and this is very, very close to what I have to share this morning. But song number 18, it says this. Verse 2, assist thy servant to proclaim the gospel message plain and pure, that all who hear accept the same. And the word accept is what I struggle with, and I don't know why, because it's kind of like we are doing something and somebody gives us an option or an opportunity and we accept it. But in my mind, what's wrong with that is I feel like the word accept should be replaced with the word receive or embrace, because if we accept it, we accept it like it's the other person's privilege that we've did what we've done, and it's not a wholehearted effort in my mind. And so just bear with me today as I try to express my heart, what I feel is the Lord's heart in this matter. And this is just feel my need of prayer. Brother Levon, would you come up here and pray for me?
Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you so much
for the day you've given us. We thank you for allowing us to be here, Father. Father, we ask that you would be with Joe as he shares. Help him to say the things that would honor and glorify you, Father. And help us to be attentive hearers and hear what you want us to. Thank you. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. The word that we want to look at today. It's been on my heart for some time, and the Lord has been working in my heart in this area. I kind of would like to look at it as there's two different meanings to this word, or it gives two different meanings, but I would kind of like for us to look at it as a law that is in our lives. A line, if you will. We all have a line or a law in our heart that we live by. It's a standard. And whatever we do, let's do it with conviction. Whether it be unto the Lord or us into our homes, I think if we do it with conviction, we are not only showing God that this is, there is no other option, but it's, we're doing this because it's part of a conviction in my heart, in my life. And there's other replacements. There's other things that we have taken and replaced that word with. And anyways, this is not a thorough study on this word by any means. It's more of a discussion. And so, I guess the thing that I would like to focus on as a believer in your in our lives, in your heart and in my heart, is not in the abilities that we have, whether it be we all have talents, physical talents. Some of us work hard. Some of us are good mechanics. Some of us can sing really well. Some of us know how to make money. And there's so many different things that we could talk about in this area this morning. But as a believer, we are faced with choices every day. And this is as a believer. Now, as an unbeliever, there's a little different. There's a difference in what we call convictions, especially as an unbeliever. But one of the things that we are faced with is truth. And what we do with truth, is going to depend where our convictions are. We see the word deception or deceive in the Bible, different places, and I've heard the term. What does it mean? Does a Christian know when he's deceived? And does a person know when he's deceived? And some people say, yes, he does. And some people say, no, he don't. And I think as a believer, God is not going to allow us to be deceived as a believer if we receive His Word with conviction. But if we hear truth and we don't embrace truth, What are we doing? What is happening here? If I hear truth today from God's Word and I know that it's truth, I can either give the half-hearted effort like, oh, I can accept that as truth, or I can receive that with truth. I can embrace that with truth. And that is kind of the difference that I'm talking about. If I receive that as truth and embrace it as truth, it becomes a part of my conviction in my life. But if I just accept it as truth, there's different things that can happen with that, because what happens is I'll accept it and I'll just put it there. And it might be a good option. It's an option. And it's not necessarily for me. So I can apply it to other people's lives, but for me to receive that for myself, it doesn't really apply. Or there's just different things that we can do with that. But as an unbeliever, I believe there's convictions as an unbeliever. But I remember as a young person, there was not a lot I could do about what I knew to be truth. My dad taught me some things about his understanding of hell, and the people that go there are the bad people. And I knew there was some things in my life at a very young age that I couldn't quit doing. One of them is I would get angry often and very quick, and I could lie and I could cuss. Those were three things that I felt in a very young age that if I could quit doing these things, I wouldn't have to go to hell. And so those were, I don't know if those were convictions, but they were things that I knew were wrong. But there's not a lot that I could do about them. But I remember at a very young age, God was working in my heart, in my life, and He was bringing me, under these convictions. He was When God shows us something, He brings us under conviction. That's kind of an interesting term, and I want to turn to that in John 16, John chapter 16, verse 8. I'm going to start in verse 7. Jesus' own words, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." When He has come, the New King James Version says, and when He has come, He will convict the world of sin. He will convict the world of righteousness. And He will convict the world of judgment. D.L. Moody, we all know that name. He is known as one of the greatest soul winners in the history of the church. Said something like this: "If what you claim is the Holy Spirit in your life, if His first work wasn't to convict you of sin, what you claim is the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit at all." He said, if the Holy Spirit, if the first work of the Holy Spirit in your life did not convict you of sin, what you claim is the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit at all. Because He said that's His first work, is to convict, to convince you of sin. It's to bring us to a place of realization that we are guilty. And that's one of the meanings of the word convict or conviction. It's guilty. You are guilty. The verdict is guilt. You are not innocent, but guilty. That's one of the meanings of the term or of the word conviction. Another one is, the state of mind of a person who is sure that what he or she believes or says, the state of mind of a person who is sure that what he or she believes or says is true. And it's done with conviction. It's not a half-hearted attempt of displaying what you think to be true, but you know it's true, and you are displaying that with conviction. You are persuading. Who was that Paul said that when Paul got done ministering to him in the book of Acts, said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. So Paul was preaching the gospel with conviction. And tell me his name again. I'm sorry. Agrippa. You know, almost he was to the place where he received and embraced that. Almost. But Paul preached it with conviction. And that's the idea that I would like to get us to. The thing I want to say about deception is this: that I believe a Christian, when he is presented with truth and he looks at it as an option, there's something that happens there, because he knows that it's God's will, but he's not embracing it. And he's not embracing it because he thinks he can get by without embracing it. He's not rejecting it necessarily, but he's also not embracing it. And so deception is knocking at your door. Deception is knocking at your door. And it's when we start rejecting the truth is when deception is taking over in our lives. That is, and that's the danger of us not allowing the God to speak to us and making that a conviction. Because a conviction is more than a good thought. A conviction in your life is more than an option. It's more than a good idea. It's more than that. You are doing it and you are making that a law in your life. There is another term or another part in Scripture that is very closely related to this, but this is the work of God. And again, conviction comes. So sometimes the work of the Holy Spirit brings conviction. The work of the Holy Spirit brings conviction, but not always do we feel like embracing truth. Just because the Holy Spirit brought and presented us with truth, we're not always pricked in our hearts to receive it. We don't always feel like surrendering our flesh to God. But the difference between an unbeliever, the difference between me as a young boy knowing that I was doing wrong and as a believer being able to embrace it is the power that God gives you, first of all, in knowing what is true and embracing it. And a lot of times we're not going to experience, our heart is going to follow our choice. But God leaves us with a choice whether or not we want to make this a conviction in our life. Not always did it happen that way. In Acts chapter, I think it's in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Yes, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, now this is something that happened after they heard. They were pricked. They were brought under a place of presented with truth that they didn't even realize. And what's the next thing that happens? D.L. Moody says, if the first work of the Holy Spirit is not to bring conviction of sin, then it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Look at what happened here in Acts. It's, Peter said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" After they were pricked in their hearts, and he said, "Repent." First thing he said was, "Repent and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And he doesn't say you may accept the gift of the Holy Ghost, but this is a receiving. This is something that God is wanting to give you. Not to accept, but to embrace. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Now this word prick means to pain the mind sharply. To agitate it vehemently. God wants to do that with truth. In our lives today. Romans 2 verses 12 says this, "For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." Here he's talking about hearing and doing. And when you hear and do, do it with conviction. Do it because you know it's the will of God. "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ to my gospel." The one thing I want to say about that word, conviction, is there's different times when we don't want to make robots in our churches. We don't want to make people just do things just for the sake of doing them. And so one of the things that come to my mind is There was a dear old lady last night that I met, a couple. I shouldn't say just a dear old lady, but it was a dear couple. And we got to sit beside them, and they were some kind of brethren. I think they might have been the Church of the Brethren. But anyways, they were in their 80s, and they had experience. I could tell that she had she was a homeschool teacher for many years, 40-some years, and they had been missionaries in Cuba. But anyways, she wore this covering. She had this covering on, and after we were done talking, or done eating with our message, we were getting ready to go home, and she was out in the hallway, and I got to talk to them a little bit before I left, and I just commented to her about that she's still wearing a covering. I said, I see you're still wearing a covering, and she says, yes, it's because it's still in the Bible. And I complimented her for that, and then she went on to say, and I asked her, would everyone in your congregation be covered? And she goes, no. And you could tell she said it with some sadness and regret that it's not that way. But she said, it's still in the Bible. God hasn't taken that out of the Bible. And so, and then she went on to say how her husband, when her husband wanted to marry her, he was not from that congregation. He was from a different setting where they weren't covered. And when she asked for her hand in marriage, she asked him if, she says, now you know that this covering is very important to me, and I would like to be able to wear it. And he said, he thought about it, and he studied it some. He said, I'll go back with her. And he looked into it and studied it some, and he says, I'm okay with that. He said, I'm okay with that. And this is what we're talking about. He said, he's okay with it. And she said, I'm not okay with you just being okay. Because if you're just okay with it, 15 years from now, I might not be wearing it anymore. But if you can embrace it, or if you can support it, then I think we can have a future together. Something in that context. I don't remember her exact words. He said, give me some time. And he went home and he studied that. And when he came away from there, he told his mom that I think whether or not I marry her or not, I think I'm going to end up in their church anyways because of how this woman believes. And he was persuaded. When he came away from there, he was persuaded that that covering was right. And they've been married for 64 years, and he has totally supported that 100%. And that is what I'm talking about. If we are presented with truth, what are we going to do with it? If we put it off, and I have some words written down here. See, some people say, I'm not convicted about that. God hasn't convicted me about that. He might not have. But the thing you have to ask yourself is it true? If it's truth, what are you going to do when you're presented with truth? I'm okay with it. So you put it here. Someday I'll apply it when God convicts me. That's not how conviction works. God, yes, God is faithful. The Holy Spirit is faithful in convicting you of sin. But if it's truth, and we're just okay with it because it's truth, deception is knocking at our door. I promise you, deception is knocking at your door. And if we reject truth, deception is already in the door. That's all I have. May God bless you.